The Bleed Smart Sportscast is brought to you by SunMaxBatteries.com, the go-to website for all your battery needs. SunMaxBatteries carries a full line of super heavy-duty, ultra-alkaline lithium and button cell batteries. SunMaxBatteries compares in quality to well-known national brands, and the best part, SunMaxBatteries are priced much lower than their competitors. Flashlights, remote controls, gaming controls, headphones, digital cameras, hearing aids, smoke alarms, whatever device you need a battery for, SunMax has the best batteries at the best price for your device. You can order a 24-pack of AA or AAA heavy-duty batteries for only $5.99, or a 24-pack of ultra-alkaline, ideal for all kinds of gaming and high-tech devices, at just $12.99. Order today and use coupon code BOSTON at checkout. That's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, at checkout, and save 20% off your entire order. 20% off those already low prices. Once again, that's coupon code BOSTON, all uppercase, at checkout, and save big today. SunMaxBatteries.com, CellMaxBatteries.com, the official sponsor of the Wicked Smart Sports Guys.
All right. What's up, everybody? Celtics live post-game show coming at you after the Celtics game. And, at this point, what more can you expect from the Celtics, really, than to lose, especially in that fashion? They go up against the Cavaliers, who, 11-game losing streak coming in, one of the worst teams in the NBA, trying to lose. Like, in theory, the Cavaliers, and I'm going to look this up because I was looking at this the other day, but I want to get this right as we talk about the game. In the standings, I know it's very close between the Cavaliers, the Magic, the Pistons still. Pistons are a little further down. The Timberwolves and Thunder, very close. Those five teams in the lottery odds. Okay, the Cavaliers are in prime position right now to be in that third. I think they were third coming into tonight. Their third pick range, third odds range. Of course, things are subject to change with the draft lottery. So Cleveland needs to lose. The organization needs to lose, and they've been doing a good job of it lately. And that, because everything's very, very close. If things go wrong for them still over these last couple games, they could end up as low as seventh in the lottery odds or as high as two. Like, things are still very close there. So you're going against this Cavaliers team that's incentivized to lose right now. And even with the evened out lottery odds, like 2-7 is a big, big drop. And they lose. And I understand what was working against them. They didn't have Brown, of course, no Walker, no Smart, no Robert Williams. Tatum and Fournier should have just been enough. Like, and I understand, like, Tatum didn't play all that bad. You see his stats there, 29-8. Like, that's not terrible from Tatum. Fournier didn't play all that bad. Fournier was actually okay tonight, all things considered. He had a good second quarter. And then what did he finish with on the stat sheet? 15, not so great. He was pretty good in the second quarter. Other than that, not so great. Peyton Pritchard had a pretty good night too. And it's just like, if anything, this game should kind of embody and exemplify like how bad the roster is. Once you get past those top guys, it's so brutal. Like, how many NBA teams are this thin at the back of their bench? And I say that like it's almost, on the one hand, it's like it's the back of your bench. Who cares? But on the other hand, it's like on night sight tonight, it's just glaring. Like, it can't possibly be like other NBA teams that have to be better than this. It's ridiculous. The other thing is, besides all this other stuff about the Cavaliers being incentivized to lose, what else? The Kevin Love, like, can we just talk about Kevin Love for a second, who season high, 30 points, hadn't cracked 30 all season. I think he'd only cracked 20 one other time this entire season. He had only, I'm pretty sure, I'll double check this right now. Kevin Love had only scored over 20 points leading into tonight once. One time he did that before tonight. 25 against Cleveland, and it was recently. So, hey, Kevin Love is playing better recently. 25 against Miami, I should say. So Kevin Love's playing better recently, okay? Back-to-back games now, or not back-to-back games, but two games this month now where he scored over 20. But my goodness, 30-14 to Kevin Love? To Kevin Love. And I see you guys in the chat. Look, you guys are going to steer the ship tonight. I don't know how much we're going to talk about this game, the season. I know a lot of the thoughts around talk around the Celtics, the thought around the Celtics is just how bad the season's been. But you know, we can get into to whatever you want to get into. I don't mind whatever you guys want to bring up in the chat. We'll talk about. But yeah, unbelievable, a vintage Kevin Love game. Really, I mean, really just an incredible that he put up 30. I mean, Sexton putting up 28 and 8. That's one thing, but Colin Sexton is still Colin Sexton's a really good player. He's been one of the best players on that Cavaliers team this whole season. But to give that up to Kevin Love of all people right now, that is like Minnesota Kevin Love numbers. And to let him beat you. And I'll tell you what, you know, you think about that second quarter run, the Cavaliers went on to go up 11. That was all Kevin Love. Like that whole run like was kind of, as we get a little trouble with the camera there. But that run was like almost entirely sparked by Kevin Love. They go down to him. He's hitting post fadeaway shots. Like, I don't know what got into Kevin Love tonight, but it certainly helped the Cavaliers. And it was a vintage performance, so to say the least. But let's get into the chat. We'll talk about a little bit about what you guys want to talk about in relation to whatever that might be, the season, the game itself. Because quite frankly, this game was bad. But at this point, and if you saw me on the post-game show last night with Ev, which I was, you know, at this point, who really cares? And I hate to say it like that, but really, like, the season's over. The season's over, guys. And this loss still frustrates me to, like, see this actually happen. But, like, besides losing in the play-in, there is nothing else that could make this season any worse to me. Besides completely losing the play-in. If they get swept and run off the floor in the first round and completely embarrassed in the first round, I don't think that makes the season any worse than it already is. This is already like, they've already bottomed out. This is as bad as it's going to get. So, and this was kind of just, you know, what you want to say, the cherry on top of the sundae, you know, the epitome of what the season's been, however you want to phrase it, go about phrasing it. This is who they are this season, what they are right now. And, you know, that's just the unfortunate matter of factness of it. But we'll get into some of your chats here. I'm already seeing them pouring in. Ray saying garbage. Michael saying, Lord, have mercy. And, you know, there's just reactions to, of all things, losing the Cavaliers. And this is another one of these losses to a team that just stinks. Like, you know, we talked about last night, the two losses to the Bulls, the loss to the Thunder. Like, the fact that the Celtics, if they had strung together some wins against easy opponents, things would be looking a lot different right now. If they had beaten the Bulls, the Thunder, and the Cavaliers, like, they'd be in the race for the 4 seed still. But no, they can't take care of business against the easiest teams in the NBA. I know Sam LaFrenz on the pregame show talks about it all the time. They play down to the level of competition. And tonight, I don't care who you were missing, you shouldn't have lost to this Cavaliers team. And they did. They lost to Kevin Love. Tatum, once again, a nice stat line, but had zero impact on the game, was basically manhandled by a G Leaguer. I don't know if I'd go that far, because, look, Tatum's the only guy out there. I joked around on Twitter. I had a tweet that of the Will Smith from Fresh Prince when he walks into the house, it's empty, and he looks around like, that's Tatum right now. The Celtics are missing 4 of their 5 starters, and it's just pretty much Tatum, Fournier, Pritchard, if you want to throw him in there, and that's it. Tristan Thompson's not giving you anything great right now, so I'm not really going to put this on Tatum. I mean, if anything, it's just an unfortunate matter of circumstance, injuries, whatever you want to say. But Tatum did his job tonight. You want to get on Tatum when he goes against Chicago and scores 8 points? Go ahead, do it then. But when he scores 29 and 8 and he's like alone, I can't do the Tatum hate. Donovan, I have no words. I don't even know why I watch games and expect the Seas to do anything but crap the bed at this point. And that's, I mean, look, that pretty much sums it up. That's what you should expect from the Celtics so for the rest of the season. And, you know, if they lose the play-in, I think it was a disgrace, but I wouldn't be shocked at this point. Like, look, we talked about the Celtics playing down to the level of competition. And I think that some people would look at it and say, the Celtics aren't going to lose to the Hornets. The Celtics aren't going to lose to the Hornets and the Wizards or the Hornets and the Pacers. And why not? Why aren't they going to lose those games? They lost to the Cavaliers. They lost to the Bulls. They lost to the Heat twice in a row. And I know the Heat are a good team, but they're on par, you know, with they should be on par with where the Celtics are. And the Celtics got run off the floor by the Heat. I mean, they, you know, to get beat twice by them and all these games, like, the Celtics lose to bad teams. So, yes, they could lose to the Hornets and the Wizards and be out. I would not be surprised by that at all. I'd be disappointed, but I wouldn't be surprised. Ray saying, fire Danny, has no heart to make good moves. He left his balls back in the 80s. Now, I wouldn't say that. This is a good topic and a good debate. Because I think that the one good move, I don't want to say one good move, but the best move that Danny made of trading Garnett and Pierce and rolling it over into Brown and Tatum has carried him a long way. But, you know, does it give you a job for life is the question. And I think Danny's made a lot of good moves. You know, he's made it. And it, look, you can talk about what you want about players wanting to come here and having the cap space and that and players recruiting players and all that stuff. But he got Kemba to come here. He got Al Horford to come here. He got Gordon Hayward to come here. All three good signings. Okay, I know that each have their criticisms for him right now. Trust me, the Celtics would love to have Gordon Hayward right now. I know you'd all love to have no matter what you say, I know you'd all love to have Gordon Hayward right now. Okay, Gordon Hayward is playing amazing for Charlotte. And if he was on the Celtics right now, they'd be a lot better. So the Gordon Hayward hate was always unwarranted. He came back last season. Shot great, like 17 points per game on 50% shooting. Amazing, amazing. It's a fourth option. And he comes out in Charlotte and proves it even more how good he is. So Gordon Hayward was a great player. Still should have, like, people should still want him on this team. Kemba Walker made the All-Star team last year. It's still been really effective here. Yeah, he's dealing with the knee stuff. Hopefully, maybe with a long offseason, which he didn't have last season. Only had 2 months really off, and he had that extra month. Maybe with a long offseason this year, that'll help him for next season. And Al Horford, of course, an all-star in Boston as well. Like, all three of those guys, good signs. So you have to give Danny credit for that. You can't just not give him credit for that. The drafting skills to draft Tatum and Brown, I know they're both third overall picks, but third overall picks bust all the time. Look at the players taken around those guys. Dragan Bender, fourth. Markelle Fultz, first. Lonzo Ball, second. Josh Jackson, fourth. Like, it would have been so easy for Danny to pick any of those guys, but he didn't. He picked the right guy. And, like, it's not easy to hit up there. It's not. It's not just a layup. So he deserves credit for that, too. I don't think it's time to fire Danny Ainge. I really don't. I think, if anything, we can I'm willing to entertain talking about firing Brad Stevens, but firing Danny Ainge, I'm still a no on. You lose to the Cavs. Jeez, yeah, still. I mean, it's embarrassing to lose to the Cavs. Donovan saying, hold on, I'm a little messed up here. Donovan saying, shout out to the Knicks for clinching their first playoff years in 8 years with this L tonight. And yeah, you know, credit to the Knicks. They played great this season. I think Tom Thibodeau deserves Coach of the Year, if not Coach of the Year, serious consideration. Like if I had a vote, I would vote for Tom Thibodeau. I think what he's done with the Knicks has been incredible. I know what Doc's done has been nice, but Doc has more star power than Thibodeau does in New York. And Monty Williams, great, amazing guy, amazing story with the Suns. He has more star power than Thibodeau has with the Knicks. What Thibodeau's done with the Knicks is nothing short of astounding, and he deserves a lot of credit for that, and he should be rewarded on the award belt. That's what I think. What's up with Kemba not playing back-to-backs? This didn't happen in the 80s or Paul Pierce days. Jordan playing with the damn flu, weak-ass generation. Look, I think the idea, Ray, with Kemba not playing is you could have played Kemba. You could have just run Kemba all game if you wanted to. You're talking about the 80s, right? So listen to this. You could have played Kemba all season, just full go. You're going to play every single game, 30 minutes a night, and we're just going to run it until you can't play anymore. Because when Kemba's played, he's played well. It's not like, you know, especially recently, Kemba's had a few 30-point games in the last couple weeks, 33, 33, 36. But he's put up a lot of really nice games recently. So theoretically, yeah, you could have done that with Kemba Walker. You could have just played him. But, Ray, what happened with Larry Bird? What happened with Larry Bird? He played only 11 seasons in the NBA, 11 seasons, and he could have had a longer career if they had preserved him. So what the Celtics are doing right now with Kemba Walker is they're preserving him. They want to say, no, we don't just want one more season of Kemba Walker. We want two or three, so we're not going to make him run himself into the ground. We're not going to take all the basketball out of him, drain him, and then let him retire or let him be some backup or let him like play himself out of the league because he's too hurt and he can't play anymore. We are trying to preserve his health so he can have some longevity. And then, more importantly, when the games start to matter in the playoffs, you know, theoretically, you know, this year it didn't work out. They couldn't get there for a number of reasons. But, you know, when it's time for those big games, then he'll be around at his best, and that's what's important. Anyway, we'll continue here. Can someone explain why Jabari Parker gets 0 minutes and Grant gets 32? So this is a good point that I actually wanted to bring up on the post-game show with Ev last night, and I didn't get the chance to. Hold on, let me just tweet this over. All right, getting that out for the people, for the post-game people. All right, so I wanted to bring this up after actually the Celtics lost to the Cavs last night because basically Jabari Parker has been kind of a, you know, he hasn't played much at all in the last, last few weeks here. Pretty much since the Celtics got him, he played for those first, you know, that first week and a half. And he was pretty good. You know, he actually contributed pretty well. He made some nice offensive plays. His defense left something to be desired, but he was all right. He was fine. You know, Jabari actually contributed a nice amount. And then since then, like, they just haven't played him at all. I don't understand why. I thought the way he was playing, the way he had been playing, he actually, you could have made an argument that he deserved to be their ninth guy off the bench. He deserved that spot behind Pritchard, Thompson, and Fournier. And he should have been that next guy up. Like, you look at how he played in the opener. That was great, 11-4. And then in that next game, 8 points on, you know, 4-7 shooting. Next game out, 6 points, but also had 4 assists and 4 rebounds, like doing a little bit of everything, shot 3 of 5, really good. And then, since those first 3 games, his minutes have gone downhill. So those first 3 games, he plays 15 minutes each of those games, 15-45, 15-55, 15-20. Plays well in all of them, okay? Like, well in some way in all of them. Fine, plays a good game. Next game, he plays 12 minutes, 12-52. You know, and he didn't play well, but just, you know, one game. Next game, plays 11 minutes. 1 of 3, 4 points. You know, not great, but he only got 11 minutes. Next game, he had 3 pretty good games for me, 3 good games, 2 bad games where he got a little less playing time. Next game, 4 minutes. He gets 4 minutes, doesn't even take a shot, and Brad pulls him. And that's it. That's it for Jabari Parker. And they lost to Oklahoma City. That was the Oklahoma City game they lost. Probably could have used some extra scoring from Jabari in that game. Okay? So Jabari doesn't play against Oklahoma City. Then what happens? Next game, out. Next game, after that, didn't play. I would say out. He just did not play. Brad didn't play him. Didn't play coach's decision. Next game, didn't play coach's decision. 3 games in a row, did not play coach's decision. Finally gets in against Orlando. In the blowout, they blew out Orlando. Jabari gets in, shoots 1 of 2, 8 minutes, and that was it. The blowout win, garbage time, whatever. Then they get blown out by Chicago. He plays 9 minutes. 4 points, 2 of 4 shooting. And he hasn't played since. So Jabari had one of those games where, even though his shooting numbers aren't looking great, I think it was against, I think it was against Chicago where he had how many turnovers did he have? Like just the one, but he looks pretty sloppy against Chicago. He's missing defensive rotation. Like, he didn't look good when they put him out there against Chicago. But even still, like, I don't get why they're not playing him pretty much at all. It just doesn't make sense that he should be getting more run, especially with the injuries they're suffering and the injuries they were sustaining tonight. I don't understand why Jabari wasn't out there. He's shooting 53% from the field with the Celtics, 53%. So I don't understand it. I don't know why Jabari's not out there. He really should be. Phil, you're saying same stuff, same results, different game. Pretty much with the Cavaliers, just a little more embarrassing that it happened against Cleveland of all teams. Ray, you're saying Kevin Love is 56 years old and we let him put up 30. It's ridiculous. And it's not even so much that Kevin Love's old. Kevin Love's not that old. He's, you know what, he's probably 33, if I had to guess off the top of my head right now. 32, he's turning 33 in like 3 months. So Kevin Love 32 years old, you know, but he's not that old. But the point is, he's washed. I mean, he hasn't been good in a while. Kevin Love, his last All-Star appearance was what, when LeBron was still in town? What, 2018? Three straight seasons without an All-Star appearance. He's barely played. Like, this season, only 24 games. In 2018-19, he only played 21. Like, and played a decent amount last year. But, I mean, this season, almost a career low in points per game. His only second only to his rookie season. So it's been, I bet he's a career low in rebounds. Yeah, that's by far his career low in rebounds per game. To career low in blocks per game, like, it's just been bad for Kevin Love. And Kevin Love was never a shot blocker, but as a power forward, Kevin Love is averaging 0.1 blocks per game. 0.1. Just, if that doesn't show, this guy just can't do anything anymore. And yeah, they let him put up 30 and 14. And he was hitting some good shots. He hit that turnaround in the second quarter over Tatum. That was just a good shot. But yeah, to let Kevin Love go off, it's of all people. Ray says, I'm going for the Knicks the rest of the way. I don't blame you. You know, it's a fun story, fun team to root for. Julius Randle's had a great season, so I don't even blame you for that. And, you know, I know some people get mad at the bandwagon thing. You know, personally, I love the NBA. I love watching the NBA. I love watching the Celtics too. But if you love the NBA and you want to, you know, still care and watch NBA basketball, I don't care if you root for another team during the playoffs when the Celtics aren't in contention. You know, if it's the best team, if you're just going to say, well, I'm going to root for, you know, I don't know, the Sixers, that's a little much. But yeah, there's no like clear cut team this year, especially with the way the Lakers have been down and the Clippers haven't really like solidified themselves as that. And it's the Suns and the Jazz. And you know, well, you know. But if it's the Nets, that's the one. Maybe that's the one that you really can't root for. But either way, you know, I don't blame you guys for having rooting interests. I think it makes it more fun. So if you want to have some pick a team and have a rooting interest in them in the playoffs, I say go for it. Donovan, can we even beat the Hornets in the play-in at this point? This is a point I brought up earlier. Was it wouldn't surprise me. Like if they can't beat the Cavaliers, why should we have any faith that they're going to beat the Hornets or the Wizards in the play-in, or the Hornets and the Pacers or whoever it ends up being? And, you know, to further that point, if it ends up, you know, I know people are going to be like, well, a bunch of people were missing tonight. Well, it was the Cavaliers. So, yeah, you're getting people back, but you're playing a little bit of a better team. And, by the way, when you had, you know, like closer to everybody healthy, not quite, but close to everybody healthy, you still lost to the Bulls twice. You lost to the Thunder, like, you know, and Thunder, everybody wasn't healthy. But, it's embarrassing to lose teams like that. And so it would not surprise me. And everybody's not going to be healthy against the Hornets and the we'll just call, say the Wizards. So, you know, there's really not a lot of reason to have faith in that. Ray saying, you're right, Tim did his thing. The guy has no help. He doesn't. He really doesn't right now. I mean, look, you know, you look down the bench and it's just Tremont Waters is starting tonight. And it's like, my goodness, Tremont Waters. And I don't – can we talk about – what is the obsession with Tremont Waters? Like, and I understand, like, he hustles. He has some grit to him. That's great. Peyton Pritchard is better. He is better. So why is Tremont Waters starting over Peyton Pritchard? Can someone explain that to me? That doesn't make any sense whatsoever, that Tremont Waters is starting over Peyton Pritchard. And whenever, you know, Kemba is, you know, getting the opportunity. So tonight was, what, his third start? How many starts does Pritchard have? It's not been, like, too often, but it's there are these moments now where – how does Tremont Waters, of all people, have three starts and Pritchard has two? So there it is. Tremont Waters this season has three starts and Pritchard has two. Can someone explain that to me, please? Why? Why? Why on God's green earth does Tremont Waters have more starts than Peyton Pritchard when they've both been healthy for these games? It makes no sense. And that's why, like, that it's a small part of why, but it's, you know, I'm really starting to come around on this Brad Stevens stuff, man, of this fire Brad Stevens stuff. Because what is that? What is that? And, you know, I do think a new voice would help. And if you want to hear more about that, you know, there's another video on the Guy Boston Sports YouTube channel about who the next coach of the Celtics could be. I encourage you guys to watch that because we have a bigger discussion about Brad Stevens there and what we brought our feelings on him. Me and Evan and I both talked about it. But my goodness, I mean, just, yeah. I don't understand the Tremont Waters over Peyton Pritchard thing. It doesn't make any sense. Again, Tremont Waters, three starts, Pritchard two. Pritchard is the better player. He's playing for you more consistently. He's played more minutes this season. He's played great as a rookie, especially from where he was picked. He's second all time in three-point percentage for your entire franchise. Okay, he's only behind one guy. I'm not even gonna say who it is because that lessens the point. But he's a great 3-point shooter. Why is he not playing? Like bench scoring? Like it makes no sense. Pritchard is better. Tremont Waters isn't even like, and then his player is a 2-way player. He's a G leaguer. Why is he starting over Pritchard? It makes no sense. All right, Phil. Not surprised by this result. They play with no passion, grit, or Celtic pride. And that's been the case for a while. But tonight, I'll tell you what. I don't blame Tatum, at least. Like, you know, they're done. The season's over. Like I said, at this point, it doesn't matter. Whatever happens doesn't matter. The season is over already, okay? But you can at least say these guys that are getting the opportunity, these Tremont Waters, okay, the Evan Fournier, who's an impending free agent and, you know, is trying to get paid, and Tristan Thompson and Aaron Nesmith, you know, there's young guys, Carson, there's young guys who should be trying to make a name for themselves, trying to carve out a role for the future, trying to do things like that, playing hard, playing with pride, playing with grit, passion, all this stuff. Like, there are people on this team that should be grinding to make a name for themselves in the NBA, if not with the Celtics, with somebody else. And Fournier should be playing hard to try to get paid. And they're not. I get giving up, honestly. And this is like, this is going to sound stupid and dumb and what? But at this point, yeah, you know what? Give up, because it's over anyway. A week ago, 2 weeks ago, I'd get on them. If they were lagging, if they were lacking, if they were, you know, not trying, yeah, I'd get on them because they still had a shot at the 4 seed. Now, sure. Why not? It's one of the worst seasons they've had in a long, long time. And Tatum played well tonight, but if he did give up, I couldn't possibly blame him because I've given up too. All right. Steven saying Tatum was 11 for 26, 1 of 6 from 3. He got a bunch of garbage points when the game was decided. I don't know. That's not entirely true, Steven. He got a few garbage time points when the game was decided, but not a ton. He was still up over 20 at that point. So he's still well over his season average with 29. I know we're all expecting Tatum to go for 40 and 50 now, but that's not what he's averaging. So he was still, you know, on par with his season averages. And 1 for 6 from 3 is pretty bad, but 11 for 26 from the field is fine. That's a fine shooting percentage. It's an absolutely fine field goal percentage. It's not bad at all. So, this isn't the night to get on Tatum to me. Tatum played fine tonight. This isn't about Tatum. I'm not going to rag on Tatum for this performance. Again, you want to do it when he's playing the Bulls and scores 8 points. That's the time to do it. Now, I'm not going to do it tonight. Fab saying, about 20 games ago, I realized we weren't contenders. Watched the games without expectations. Held true to the rest of the way. Fab, I'm not going to get on you too much, but I feel like 20 games ago is a little bit, you might be missing the mark with that projection, okay? Because 20 games ago was about the time that the Celtics were actually in fourth place, because less than a month ago, on April 17th, the Celtics, and I know this might shock people to think just how short of a time it was when the Celtics were actually playing good basketball. Less than a month ago, the Celtics were in sole possession of fourth place in the East. Sole possession of fourth in the East. Less than a month, it was on April 17th. And since then, they've just gone in the tank. So 20 games might be a little off with your projection there, because they were close. It was probably, you know, at this point, 14, 15 games ago. It was, you know, maybe a little more than that. But it was, yeah, they should be fourth. It seemed like they were going to play well from here on out. They were going to do, you know, their thing. And they stopped playing. They stopped playing well at that point for a number of reasons. But it was just unfortunate how things just went so badly all of a sudden. But even still, I don't think it was quite 20 games ago, because 20 games ago things were looking up. Now, not so much. Bernard Cow saying roster needs major changes. Get more vets. Find a healthy center in the event that Rob isn't healthy. And this is interesting because, you know, you're talking about, oh, they need a healthy center. They had one tonight. His name was Tristan Thompson. Got a nice little tribute video from the Cavaliers. That seemed like that was about it. And last night he was really terrible. Last night it was like completely embarrassment against the Heat. Tonight he played a little better, 10-7. Still nothing to write home about, but at least that's representable. But Tristan Thompson, I haven't loved that signing. He's supposed to be their guy that when Rob's out, this guy steps up, but he's not. Last night against the Heat, 28 minutes, 2 points, 3 rebounds. embarrassing, just quite frankly embarrassing. And, you know, I think, you know, hope that we'll see what they can do with Vets. They don't have a lot of cap room. And, you know, we'll see if they try to make a trade. Smart, Kemba, one of those guys on the block, I don't know. But, you know, we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what Danny decides to do. As I see, you're also saying Danny needs major changes. Otherwise, he's on the hot seat. I think that's more fair. I'm not going to talk firing Danny now. But if you want to talk, I think he's got a little more leeway. To me, I think if Danny fires Brad and then brings in a new coach, then the clock starts ticking. Then it's like, okay, if this guy doesn't work out, we're going to have to start talking about firing Danny Ainge. Because this is your next year, your next coach, your next shot. And then from then on, we'll see where that goes from there. So I think that's fair. Danny deserves at least one more coach before you kick the, you know, you kick him to the curb. Sweaty's saying, I can't believe every team on a big losing streak finally cracks a win against the Seas. LOL, pathetic. And I know you're making reference to the Thunder there. Yeah, the Thunder snapped their big losing streak again. I think their losing streak was like 14 or 11 or something crazy, 10. I don't know what it was. It was double digits. And then tonight, the Cavaliers are on an 11-game losing streak. And boom, they beat the Celtics. And it's just crazy because those teams are losing by design. They're designed to lose. Like, it's not something of, well, like, these teams are, you know, I'm sure the players want to win, but the organizations are actively trying to lose. This is their goal, and they're beating you. What does that say? That's just disgusting. We're not beating the Hornets. No way. Sorry to say it. We lose to the Bulls, Cavs, OKC, Wolves. We lose so many bad teams. And look, I don't blame you for feeling that way. I wouldn't say there's no way, but I wouldn't be surprised if it happened. At this point, I don't know how anyone could be with the way this team's been falling apart so far. Do we know the players are listening to Brad? No, we don't. Listen, a lot of the stuff that people have been telling you about Brad this, Brad that, you know, all this stuff going on behind the scenes, it's all speculative. We don't know what's going on, but I don't know how you can't fire Brad at this point, because there are a lot of things that you look at in relation to this team and say, well, that's coaching. Defense, well, that's coaching. And I know some people might disagree. A lot of defense is coaching. Look at the Knicks. And I brought this up on one of the recent streams. The Celtics, or the Knicks rather, last year were 23rd in defensive efficiency. They brought back mostly the same team. Like, Alfred Payton's their starting point guard. He was there last year. RJ Barrett was there last year. He was starting. Julius Randle was there last year. He was starting. Reggie Bullock was there last year. He was starting. And Mitchell Robinson was there last year. He was starting. Okay? All those guys came back and are playing big minutes. It's the same guys. But they went from 23rd in defensive efficiency to 3rd. That's the Tom Thibodeau effect. That is Tom Thibodeau. Okay? So defense, a big part of it is about coaching. That's been a problem for the Celtics. Passing, you know, that can come back to coaching too. I think a coaching change would actually serve the Celtics well. And I made this analogy last night. I'll make it again here. Matt, think of it like school. If you had one, and some people were homeschooled, so this analogy doesn't work for homeschool people. Homeschool people, go away. If you were in school and you had one teacher for your entire schooling experience, do you think you'd have a good learning experience? Do you think you'd have a good education? Probably not. You need multiple teachers. It's good to have multiple teachers and multiple people that can teach you different things and people that are, you know, specialized in certain different areas. Like, that's the point of why you have different teachers for different things. And I think it would benefit Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the rest of the Celtics to have a new teacher instead of Brad. It's time for a new teacher. Okay. Sweaty saying, and I lost it now. Sweaty saying, God, I hope Danny Ainge sees that they need an actual big man. We are such a small ball team on the court. Tristan can't really do anything on the court. He's just another vet on our team. And yeah, Tristan's been a big disappointment. I hope they trade him, especially if there are, you know, cap implications this season. They need to trade players to stay under the hard cap or whatever. Trade Tristan. He's not worth $9 million a year. I don't care. He's not. Tristan Thompson's the guy I'm dealing. Let's see. We need a big man, and it's serious at this point. Yeah, they really do. Going back to that other point. Danny Ainge got to stop wasting roster spots on useless picks. Another one could be coming this year. Hey, you know what? If things go a certain way, which they're trending right now, the Celtics could have as high as the 12th best lottery odds. And then who knows? Maybe they could win the lottery. You know, listen, if you guys really want to get over this losing stuff and, you know, start to have a little bit of fun, start rooting for the losses. Okay. And start saying, hey, if we lose out, we lose to the Hornets, we lose the play-in, we miss the playoffs, then if the Spurs make the playoffs, we can get the 12th lottery odds. And then with the even out lottery odds, maybe we can jump up. Wait, maybe we can get Cade Cunningham, okay? So start doing that. Tank is on for the Celtics. Watch out, Pistons, all right? The Celtics are coming for that tank, and they're coming for their more pick, and they're coming for Cade Cunningham, okay? Or Jalen Suggs, whoever you want, you know? Root for the tank at this point. Go ahead and do it. Yes, we need vets. We have our stars. Now you're talking about the vets. I can't stand Danny Ainge. Wow, that's harsh. That's harsh, Sweaty, to say he's the biggest idiot. Again, I think I'm way more apt to entertain the idea of trading firing Brad than firing Danny Ainge right now. So I wouldn't go that far. Good moves and bad moves from Ainge, but he's overcomplicating roster construction. Here's my theory, and this is our Game Center. All right, yeah, Game Center has a long theory. What is this? Okay, all right. I don't know if I want to put this up. Let me see this. Do I want to pull this up? Whatever. All right, we'll go with it. My Patriots schedule was released today, so we'll go with this. And Patriots lost on purpose last year. Onside kick for no reason against Buffalo. I don't think they lost on purpose against Buffalo, but that's fine. Celtics doing the same thing. Franchise looked it over, said we have no fans, wasn't worth it, so just lay low and not major risk injuries and come out strong for next year. This theory is actually not bad. This, I don't know about the whole Patriots they tie in, but the idea of they just said, you know what? We're too injured. Kemba is too injured. Rob is too injured. Jalen is too injured. We don't want to potentially risk having them be even more injured next season. We don't want to risk, you know, running them this season. Let's try do everything we can to stay out of the play-in, get the 5 seed, fight against the Hawks, beat them, then go against the Sixers. All for what? You're not winning the championship this year. So, hey, you know what? Pack it in. And, pull back and gear up to go at it hard next year. That wouldn't be the worst strategy to me. And I think part of me thinks that I hope that's what they're doing, because if they are, that things might, there's actually reason to be optimistic about next year. Pages haven't played, so we don't know how they'll look. I think it was responding to the Pages thing. Talking about last year. Yeah, you guys are just having a little back and forth in the chat. We were up and down all season and could not run with the big boys or anyone. It's disappointing. I should bet on Minnesota beating the Celtics the way I wouldn't feel so depressed after. Hey, you know what? You might as well. Again, root for the picks. Root for them to get that number one pick now. That's all you have. Danny Ainge, not the biggest idiot. I'm just really mad after this game. I don't blame you. And Game Center saying it's not a crazy theory, but the Celtics, hey. I hope they're losing on purpose, because if so, they can get that 12th, at least the 12th pick or the 30th pick, whatever, get higher lottery odds and maybe, you know, I don't know, jump up, you know. And I know people would hate it. I know you guys are already talking about, Danny Ainge, where is it? Wasting the roster on useless draft picks. That one. Here it is from NBA Burner account. He's got to stop wasting the roster spots on useless draft picks. Hey, I'll take another useless draft pick. Sign me up for another useless draft pick. I don't care. Just, yeah, keep going after it. Hey, you heard all this stuff about the Celtics wanted Halliburton, the Celtics wanted Hero, but they couldn't because they were 14th. Those guys were 12th and 13th. Get up to 12th. That's where the magic happens. That's where you can get your guy, okay? That's where you can get that special guy, hopefully. And hey, if they can pull it off there, that's great. And if they can jump up, even better. Get me Cade Cunningham. Get me Jalen Suggs. Get me whoever you want. I'll take him. Get me Evan Mobley. You know, get me somebody. You know, that's what I'm rooting for at this point. But we'll end on this. And Game Center saying, think of how much money they lost last year. Imagine if some freak injury happened on top of it. Yeah. If you play Kemba Walker and his knee gets worse, or you play Jaylen Brown and his knee gets worse because he's having knee problems, or his wrist gets worse, or whatever it is, and he needs even bigger surgery. Or, you know, Robert Williams, something further happens with him. Then you lose another season on top of this lost season. This season's already down the tubes. You want to lose next season too? No. So, you know what? I'm all in. Pack it in. Play Romeo. For the play-in games, I want you to start Carson Edwards, Evan Fournier, Romeo Langford, Tristan Thompson, and Grant Williams. That's what I want for the play-in. Because Evan Fournier, I'll tell you what, if you pack it in, he's not re-signing. So throw him out there. Who cares? Pack it in. Pack it in. All right. That's my new take on the Celtics. Time to pack it in. Time to give up. Hey, that's the type of season it's been. I never thought I'd say that in relation to the Celtics, but it is time to give up. And on that note, it's time for me to end this stream and give up on this stream. Thank you guys for tuning in and talking all this, even though it was depressing talk. Go ahead and subscribe to the YouTube channel. More giveaways coming soon. You can follow me on Twitter at @BuyCageDoyle. If you want, I posted a video on the Celtics that's a little more optimistic earlier today. I had a lot of my other feelings about that. Just tough to be optimistic after a loss like that. So if you want to check that out, go ahead and do that. And again, you can follow me on Twitter. Check out some of the stuff I posted today. There's some good stuff today, not to brag. But that's going to do it for this stream, guys. So thank you for tuning in. And we'll